That makes us think that we're not okay in who we are. We struggle to sit in big emotions like shame and guilt. That's where a lot of this comes from. How do we now relearn to step into our power, to be these sensitive beings that we are about? I may be someone who likes to do things right straight away, but that's not what this is about. This is also a game of patience. By experience, that's how we learn how we are going to show up. Real work happens when we're experiencing life and we're around people. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Therapized. And today's episode is a solo episode I'm doing. And it's all about recovering from people pleasing, where we really just try and understand, how do we prioritize self-care? How is it that we try and understand, where do these patterns of people pleasing come from? And how do we overcome it to be able to cultivate healthier boundaries and self-esteem? So the first thing I want to start off with is, what is people pleasing? What are the behaviors? So this is when we have this excessive need to please others at the expense of our own needs and desires. And it often stems from a deep-seated fear of rejection or abandonment, as well as a desire for external validation and approval. It's almost like we're living outside in. And by understanding the root of people pleasing, that's when we can begin to unravel how it shows up in our life and almost how do we look at another way moving forward. So some of the signs of people pleasing may be that we find it difficult to say no, a constant need that we need from others of approval, avoiding conflict at all costs and trying to prioritize other people's needs and wants over our own, and maybe even neglecting our own well-being. And we have to recognize these signs, because if we don't recognize these signs, what can happen is we get caught up and we get stuck in a pattern where we're outside in because we need this external validation. It's almost like we need people to give us validation that we are enough as we are, because somewhere along the line, we learned that we weren't okay. We weren't enough the way that we were. So we learned to subtly start looking at people and start focusing on, what do they need from me? And it's not as though we could read their minds and understand what they need, but we learned to see, okay, if I give them this, then they might praise me, or they may not say anything to me, or then I'm doing good. And we continue doing this because we want to continue doing good. But by doing that, we are disconnected from ourselves because we are so focused. And this is where like the hypervigilance can come in, where we are so focused and notice every subtle thing in someone else. That doesn't mean that that's what they need from us, or that doesn't mean that that's what they want from us. They just get used to us showing up in that way. So then when we do start breaking away from people-pleasing behaviors, naturally what's going to happen? People are going to think, what's wrong with you? You're not the way that you normally are. Or people are going to start noticing that you're not showing up the way that you once did. And that doesn't mean that you go back into people pleasing and you start giving other people what you feel that they need. That's not what you do. Instead, this is about you understanding, okay, I now realize that I'm changing, I'm growing because I'm understanding some of my patterns. But that doesn't mean that I have to go now into a space and keep giving people what they want because we feel bad. And that's what this is about, isn't it? It's about, how do we honor and really stay in ourselves? We are grounded within who we are. Because by doing that, we then aren't so focused on, I need to be this way for everyone else, because we realize that we're more than that. We realize that there's so much more for us to become if we get out of our own way. But if we stay in this space where we feel we need to be this way, because that's what we've learned to be, then we continue to stay in our own way and don't get to places where we know that we're capable of getting to. And maybe we don't even know we're capable because we don't even see that path, because we're so busy temporarily in this space of the next thing. And the problem is we end up burnt out, disconnected, feeling lonely, feeling disconnected. Everything I speak about in my book, High Functioning Anxiety, because that's what happens, is we're so high functioning, but it comes from a place of anxiety, because that fear that we have of upsetting someone or someone not being okay with us, that makes us think that we're not okay in who we are. So we try and change and shift and constantly looking for ways that we can be more of what someone wants from us. But no one's telling us this. No one's saying you need to be this, or maybe they are, but we feel the need to have to do that. But why? It's because we struggle to sit in big emotions like shame and guilt. That's where a lot of this comes from, is not being able to sit with ourselves. And what does that mean? What does it mean that we're not able to sit with ourselves? And this is where we deep dive into understanding, hang on a minute, where did I learn that I wasn't okay to show these big emotions? And this isn't going back and blaming our attachments, our early attachments. But a lot of what has happened comes from our early attachments, because this is where we learn how or who we are in the world, how we treat others in the world, and how other people may treat us. If we look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, our safety and our security, it comes from the attachments that we have as a child and how we've learned to be in the world. So if we've learned that we have these big emotions and our attachments aren't able to look after these or help us nurture through, regulate through these big emotions, what happens as a result? We learn to shut them down. We learn to suppress these emotions. Why? Because we think it's not okay to show these emotions. Because when we do, we're shamed. We're criticized. So we see it as it's not a good thing. It's our safety, our security that's being targeted here. So we, in order to stay safe, we suppress these parts of us. But as human beings, we are very sensitive. We are sensitive beings. And this is where we are now learning. And this is what this podcast episode is about, is how do we now relearn to step into our power, to be these sensitive beings that we are about. And even from my own example, I was a people pleaser. I used to make sure that I was always there for everyone else. And I know what it feels like when you feel disconnected. You feel so alone. You think that you're the only person thinking through these things. And even now when I'm working with clients, they're like, do other people have these thoughts? And I'm like, yeah, they do. And that's the thing. We feel like we're wrong, that we're bad, that we're all these different emotions, and we don't even want to go there. So that becomes our shadow. That becomes a part that we don't want to mess with until we no longer have a choice. Because it keeps knocking, it keeps knocking. And this is our time now to start looking at what is this about. So let's get into this podcast episode. So in this episode, I'm going to share 5 key things that you need to put into your everyday life to be able to help you overcome people-pleasing traits. So let's get started. Now, before we get deeper into understanding what 5 things you need to break free from people-pleasing, I want us first to also understand what's the impact. What is the impact of people-pleasing? Because if we don't understand the impact, how can we then move forward? If we don't understand the toll that it's having on us, because it does impact our mental health, it does impact our self-esteem, our relationships, it can lead to feelings of resentment, burnout, and a loss of authenticity in our everyday interactions, because we're constantly seeking validation from others. We're constantly looking for why we should be doing different things that we should be doing, rather than living inside of us and understanding what's going on. And this also makes us lose our sense of self-worth and autonomy, because we're so focused on what we think others want. And the worst thing is with that way of living is that we don't know what people want. We can't read minds. We don't know what they want. But we learn, because as we go through life, we may have interactions with people. So if someone, for example, is very quiet, we instantly may need to fill that space, because we then think they're quiet, I've done something, or this is awkward, so let me just fill the space quickly. Another example might be that you notice when you've said no to someone because you can't make a certain day or time, and you notice, and they might just be thinking about something, but instantly you think, oh God, I've upset them. I need to do something with this. And it's us that's dysregulated and not able to sit in that space. And what ends up happening is we end up running quickly, trying to fix it, trying to make it better. But what are we trying to fix? What are we trying to make better? And this is where the power of pause comes in. And this takes us nicely to the next part of this podcast, where we delve into the five traits to help you recover from people pleasing. So here we go. So number one is to learn to set healthy boundaries. Now, when I say this, what does this even mean? What do boundaries mean? Boundaries are not there to punish someone or to, because we are angry with someone and we want to get back at them. That's not what a boundary is. If we think of a boundary a bit like a gate, and we've got this gate at the front of our house and it keeps us safe because it means no one can just keep coming in as and when, because we have a gate there. So we choose to open that gate as and when we want to. But we also need to be very reflective with that and understand that, okay, am I closing this gate on this person because I'm annoyed with them or I'm frustrated? And have I tried to communicate what's going on for me? Because often one of the biggest things that we will notice as a people pleaser is that you can find it really difficult to be assertive and to express what you're feeling, because at the same time, you don't want to upset the other person. So you're in this conflict with yourself that I don't want to upset this person, but I want to express what I'm feeling. And then we feel resentful to this person because we think, why is it that they're treating me this way? But if they don't know what you're feeling and what you're thinking, they're going to keep opening this gate. And then you're left thinking, why are they doing this? So we need to express how this makes us feel. And recognizing what our needs are, it takes time to identify our needs and prioritize in different areas of our lives. And this is about us understanding, okay, I may be someone who likes to do things right straight away, but that's not what this is about. This is also a game of patience here. So when we learn to set boundaries, it's not that, okay, I'm going to set something and that's it. It's going to be like that forever. No, this is trial and error. Like, we will learn, okay, I'll shut the gate at this point, but when I do that, this is what happens. And what's this about? And what's this about? So this is where reflection, self-awareness, journaling can be really powerful, because it gives you space to make sense of how or what's going on for you. So setting boundaries is important to keep yourself safe. That's what it's about. And to communicate assertively, just practice expressing your boundaries clearly with people, noticing what's going on for you, being reflective of what's happening. And don't feel that you need to apologize for setting a boundary as well, because sometimes initially you can say, I don't want this, or this is how I feel. And then it's like, I'm sorry, because we look at someone and we think, oh, I've upset them. So then we want to take it back straight away. So when we're feeling that way, just be mindful. That's what I'm saying here. And saying no, it doesn't have to be like, no, that's it. I'm not doing this for you because I'm angry and I'm resentful and da-da-da-da, and I'm sick and tired of people always taking advantage and taking things from me. No, we want to do it in a way where we are regulating. And I'm laughing because sometimes it's like our box can become so full. And one person may just say, can you do this? And that's it. We take it all out on them. But it's not that it's them that we're taking out on. It's just how we're feeling in that space. So it's important just to try and understand, okay, when you are saying no, it's not like you're saying it in an angry or an aggressive way. We're sitting with, okay, it's okay for me to say no in this space because I can't do this thing, or because of this, or because of this. Like, you don't have to validate it to the person, but it's about you sitting and understanding like what's going on within you. So again, coming from your values, coming from what feels right within your intentions, like, does this feel like something you'd like to do? And as I said, because we've been living so outside in, when you're tuning into yourself, you may even be thinking, I don't know what I feel. I don't know what's right. And sit with that and respect your limits. Honor your physical, emotional, your mental limits by setting boundaries and protecting your well-being, because that's what boundaries are there for. They're going to protect you. And just because you've set a boundary in one way doesn't mean that the next time round, that's it. It's going to be set in that space. No, boundaries, we can adjust them as when we need to. So we can be flexible and willing to adjust our boundaries. So when we think of boundaries, all I want you to think about is, my boundary is what's keeping me safe. And people may have been so used to opening this gate, but now what I'm saying is, hey, when you come to my house, can you please make sure that you knock on this gate? And they might look at you and think, what do you mean? I've never done that before. That doesn't mean that you pull away and say, oh, sorry, I didn't mean that. No, you stick with what you've said, because that's what's important to you. That's what keeps or makes you feel respected. And at the end of the day, we need to teach people, no matter how hard it is, we have to teach people how we want to be treated. And that's what this is all about, is you learning to honor and respect yourself. You've got this. Number two, and this one's really powerful, because it's about how do you start connecting inwards and understanding what your needs are. Because you've been so focused for years and years and years about looking and doing things for others, when people might ask you a simple question like, what would you like to eat? Or what's your favorite dish? Or what's this? Or what's this? This is about you starting to get curious with that and learning what your needs are. But the second point to focus on is all around self-care. And self-care means it's you learning to really connect mind, body, heart again, aligning these parts of us. Because when we're so focused on trying to do things for others, we are disconnected from ourselves. We don't know, how do we look after ourselves? Someone might say, should we go and do this? Should we go and do this? You've always been, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that. Make it work. But that leads to burnout, exhaustion, feeling lost, feeling very disconnected from other people. So now this is about, how do I go back in, tune in with yourself, tap into what is it that feels right for you? So doing things like, okay, what does your movement look like? What does your emotional side look like? Are you journaling? Are you spending time talking through or reflecting on how you're feeling? What does your, when we think of like what your basic foundations, your food, your water, how hydrated, how are you looking after yourself? And these, we say they're simple ways, but these are your pillars of how you look after yourself. What does that look like? If someone's, oh, please come out, and you know you have a very busy afternoon, what do you do? How do you manage that? Do you drop everything and still go out because you're afraid of letting someone down? What do you do to really look after yourself and what your needs are? If you know you've got a busy week, if you know you've got work that is really, there's loads of projects going on, how is it that you look after yourself? So you can break down self-care into your physical health, your emotional health, your mental health, and really start noticing, okay, for each of these things, what do I need to give myself? And then maybe you look at that and say, right, every day, do I have a check-in with myself to understand, am I following through with my self-care? Maybe at the end of the week, have a check-in. What went well this week? What didn't go too well? What would I like to improve on? Because this is, again, where we're learning to understand ourselves. It's not something that's just going to happen just like that, because now we know we put ourselves first. No, it's an ongoing journey. And it's, again, being open to adjust this as well, because we're not just going to get things straight away. So just be mindful with that. Play around with what self-care looks like to you. And each week you're going to keep learning more and more and more. And sometimes you're going to feel like you're going backwards because old emotions may come up. And when I say old emotions, I mean like an old way of feeling, where you're feeling maybe withdrawn or lonely. That does not mean you're going backwards. It means that you're now, yes, you're moving forwards, but you're reflecting, you're feeling, you're in your body, you're noticing these things. That's the power here. So keep going with that. Introducing our exclusive newsletter, your weekly dose of inspiration, insights, and empowerment. Each week, we deliver curated content straight to your inbox. And this is designed to help you navigate life's challenges and thrive. Join our community of like-minded individuals who are committed to personal growth and self-discovery. Subscribe now to start your journey towards a happier, more fulfilling life. Don't miss out. Number three is all about self-compassion. So practice mindful awareness. Start to understand and become aware of your thoughts, your feelings, your behaviors without the judgment or the criticism that you have in your mind. Be mindful of like, when is it that I start criticizing myself or I'm judging myself? So when you start almost like being an external person and noticing how you show up day to day, that's going to give you great insight to help you understand, okay, where is it that I struggle with self-compassion? And what happens when I do X, Y, and Z? And when does my inner critic tend to come out? When does my inner critic tend to judge? Sit with that and understand with that. Play with what comes up for you. Be curious about it. Because when you start becoming more curious about why you're thinking certain things, where these feelings might be coming from, why you're behaving in certain ways, that's where you can dive deeper and understand what's the root of this. And when you start challenging your self-critical thoughts, you challenging these negative self-talk to replace it with something different. And that's not saying, okay, I'm just going to take it out. And it doesn't work that way. It's not as easy, as simple as just stop thinking these thoughts. Remember, these thoughts are there because once upon a time, they've had a fundamental part of keeping you safe. And now all of a sudden we're saying, actually, we're noticing, yes, they've kept us safe and they have helped us to get to the point that we're at right now. But we no longer need this in order to move forward. Actually, there's another way that we can now move forward because this has served its purpose. It's done what it's done for us. And now it's time for us to move forward, but with compassion instead. So start understanding, what language are you using? How are you talking to yourself? Because when you start to delve into that, it allows you to understand how you're showing up and what might be coming up for you. Because you might be, I don't know, with your friend somewhere and you've said something and you thought it was a joke and no one else has laughed. And now all of a sudden what's ended up happening is your inner critic is coming out and saying, oh my goodness, what did you do? What are people going to be thinking about you now? And that's playing out in your head. And that can feel really exhausting. And that inner critic can mean that you then just become very introverted and very quiet for the rest of the evening because you're like, oh, don't want to say another joke because that felt like rejection or that didn't feel like a nice feeling. So can you see how powerful that inner critic is and the influence that it has in our life? And maybe we weren't aware that it was there, but now we know that it's there. Come on, we can do something with it. And it's not easy that we said we'd just get rid of it. No, it's been there for a very long time. So yes, it has been integrated within us and it's serving a purpose, but that purpose is not getting us to where we want to get to now. And it is about choosing self-kindness, learning to treat yourself with the same kindness that you give to others. If a friend came to you and said something, how would you talk to them? That's how we want to learn to talk to ourselves. And often a big part of people-pleasing is learning to embrace imperfection, accept that we are imperfect beings and it's part of the human experience and just allowing ourselves to make mistakes. Because mistakes, what are they? How does that inner critic talk to us if we make a so-called mistake? Do we shame ourselves? Do we beat ourselves up? Actually, what can we take away from this? That's what we want to do. Because by experience, that's how we learn how we are going to show up. But without this experience, we don't know how to show up. We don't know what the best way is to show up. So this is all powerful, very, very powerful for us. And every experience teaches us something different. And if we're a monk sitting on top of a mountain somewhere and there's nothing around us, we have life around us. Of course, there's going to be things that come up that trigger us. And when these triggers come up, sit with it. What is this trying to show me? What's coming up here? How does my inner critic speak right now? What's going on here? That's beautiful to try and understand what's coming up and learning not to run away from these triggers or these things that make us feel uncomfortable, but sitting in it. It's like, for example, when we do yoga, when we are sitting in a discomfort, in a posture, it can feel really difficult. But when we learn to breathe through that, and sitting there and waiting and counting up to five and thinking, oh, this is a really hard posture right now. But when you breathe through it, you shift your mindset because you realize, actually, I've got through this discomfort. It wasn't nice, but you know what? It's good for my body. And I got through that. And this is where we celebrate our progress, no matter how small, celebrating it, understanding and acknowledging the little efforts. And you might think, well, that's little. I'm not going to celebrate that. Well, come on, let's start being kind to yourself and notice these little small efforts and accomplishments. No matter how small they are, they're there and they're part of your growth. And this is for you to acknowledge. What is this about? Why can I not take this? Why am I resisting this? Why am I resisting this thing that's there that I feel like I've done? Because in someone else, I might be able to see that it's an amazing thing. But with me, I'm not able to see. What is that about? So then we move to the next thing, which is to practice. Number four is practice assertiveness. So really start to understand, because assertiveness, the word assertiveness it can feel like uncomfortable because it's like, but I don't want to come across like I'm being rude, or I don't want to come across like I'm being bossy. But that's not what assertiveness is. To me, assertiveness, and this is why I share it in this as number four, is you really honoring your voice, honoring your values, your choice that you're making, and not feeling that, oh, I better not say this, or I better not do this because I'm confused by it, or I'm a bit worried about what people are going to be thinking. But you're owning it. You're really owning it. And you're like, yep, I get this. It's a real different energy you show up in, because you're knowing and understanding what feels right to you. And it might take a few decisions where you do start self-trusting, because that's what, for me, assertiveness is all about, is it's you learning to trust yourself. And it's something I talk about in my book, where self-trust, as a people pleaser, you disconnect from that because you're looking for cues in other people in how you then need to be, rather than sitting with what's going on for you. So we want to get back into that energy of, hang on, what's coming up here for me? What am I feeling when this person does this? What's happening here? And then choosing to step into our assertiveness to speak out, including expressing your thoughts and your feelings. And not everyone's going to understand them. And you get to choose who and who you feel you want to speak to about certain things. But when you are speaking and being assertive, use I statements like, I feel this because of this or this or this, rather than saying, you're making me feel like this. Let's choose how we show up, because we can show up regulated. We can show up sharing how we're feeling, our thoughts, our feelings, and expressing our needs assertively, rather than blaming or making accusations. There's a difference with that. So just be mindful of that. And just standing firm, maintain your posture and really stand in your energy. So when I really feel this, I think, again, yoga. So if there's any yogis listening to this, in your Tadasana stance, where you're really strong in the core of your souls, hands are down and you really feel that energy drawing down, that's the stance that I feel when I think of assertiveness. So there will be resistance around you as well, and there will be pushback, but remember that stance, like you're really in it. And someone might try and push you down, but you're strong in yourself. And be open to finding a compromise or a solution with others, because you might say something, but a relationship is also about a compromise and listening to the other person and trying to find that middle ground. It doesn't mean that I need this and then the other person says, well, I need this. How or where is the understanding there? We also do need the understanding. So this is where also practicing empathy can come in and consider their perspective. Because remember, for years, you've just been doing things that you thought you needed to do. And now all of a sudden, you are realizing your worth. And as you're realizing your worth, you don't want to be doing these things anymore. But by doing that, it may come with like conflict and other people not understanding your perspective. And that can bring up like a frustration. Just be mindful of that. And notice when you do feel frustrated, actually it might be because for years you've been doing things for others. And when other people, it might not be their fault. It might just be a simple thing they've asked you to do. And everything, all these years of resentment just comes out on this one person. So just sit with that. Be mindful of that. We're not perfect. We're going to fall down a few times, and that's okay. We stand back up. We get into our sort of our physical stance again, and we continue through life. But be prepared to fall down. That's okay. It's part of life, part of the experience. Things happen. We're walking through life. Something might happen. We learn from it. And we think, okay, when I do this, this is what happens. So next time I'll do this or this or this. So let's move to number five. Number five is develop self-awareness. And what I mean by developing self-awareness is reflect regularly. Take time to reflect on your thoughts, your feelings, your behaviors, and consider how they align with your values, your goals of life. Like, is this the person that you want to be? Be more intentional with how you're showing up. But when we have self-awareness, it gives us insight into it helps us to understand our patterns, because we need the three types. We need the self-awareness. Then we have understanding. Because yeah, we can be self-aware, like, oh, okay, when this person comes up, I don't feel very uncomfortable. But let's go deeper and understand. So self-awareness is a starting point, And then we can understand, where does this come from? What's going on here? And when we start noticing like patterns, just pay attention to the recurring patterns that keep coming up. That's what self-awareness is about, is reflecting back and reflecting on every interaction. Because we're here now and we're talking through this, but real work happens when we're experiencing life and we're around people. When we're around people, we start noticing, hang on, I feel this with this person, or I feel this with this person. What's going on here? That's where you learn. That's where you grow. And so many of us will avoid conflict, avoid upsetting people. But we need to sit with, like, what's that about? Because if we keep avoiding it and putting our head in the sand, we're not learning. And someone else is going to come and do something similar. And then we put our head in the sand again. And we keep putting our head in the sand. Until when? Because actually, we take our head out of the sand and we confront this shadow part of us. We learn so much. There's so much that we can take away. And I say that because I've been through it. I get it. I understand it. So the more we notice patterns, the more awareness that we gain. And with that, we then can truly stand in being vulnerable without feeling open or feeling like we're on the spotlight. But actually, we're courageously vulnerable. We're open. And we're not worried about what people are going to be thinking, because actually we're okay with being imperfect. And we have this willingness to explore and be curious with this, but also to be compassionate to ourselves. That's how all of these link together. So seek growth opportunities. View challenges and setbacks as opportunities for growth, for learning, and approach them with a mindset of curiosity to develop that resilience that you're looking for. So those are the five different things, the five key takeaways to help you to recover from people-pleasing. And I want you to really sit with them again and see, how do you integrate them in your everyday life? So now I want to give you an example of someone that I have had the pleasure to connect with, someone who's been on a similar journey, and also my own journey, is where when I first started working with this person, they came to me and they were feeling exhausted, feeling disconnected. They actually came to me because they were anxious and they struggled with self-worth. But it's only when we started diving deeper and deeper, we understood what was going on. And that was that they had learned from a very young age to be the caregiver, to make sure everyone else around them was enough. But why was this? Because they were a very sensitive person. And being a sensitive person meant that they felt things that their family didn't know, or that they weren't nurtured into. So every time that they may have showed up with big emotions, their parents weren't able to hold that space for them. So what ended up happening was they suppressed these parts of them. And when they started suppressing these parts of them, they felt disconnected. So of course, when they entered a relationship, they felt like they weren't worthy of love. But that impacted on their relationship, because they entered a relationship where they were avoidant. They were avoidant to being vulnerable. They were very hyper-independent, getting into a relationship, doing everything for the other person, but also never asking for help. And this person was really, really ill, and they didn't ask for help. They were like, no, I'll just get on with it by myself. And then they went through a few other struggles, and they ended up taking time off work because they were just exhausted. And they said, this is the first time I've ever taken time off work. I'm feeling so much shame, so much guilt. But that was like their standstill. They had got to this point, they had to stand still, but they had no other way of moving forward, because their normal coping strategies of go, 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 it wasn't working, because they got to that point where it was that wall that they hit. So when they hit this wall, it then became very exhausting for them. It became exhausting because they didn't know what to do. And the battle was that their partner then was saying to them, like, what's wrong? I don't know how to help you. And they didn't know how to help themselves. So anyway, we started working together. And when we did start working together, they started to unravel all these different things that have happened to them, and the way that they've felt like other people have treated them. And what I mean by that is they started to understand that the way that they were showing up, people were treating them in that way. So yeah, they were saying, yeah, I need to do this for this person. I need to do this for this person. But when we delved into it and understood what they were actually doing, it wasn't because other people wanted it. It was because they didn't know how to sit with guilt. So if they upset someone, if someone needed them, they would always make sure that there was time for them. But that then meant that they were not having time for themselves. And actually, when we started talking about some of the hobbies and interests that they like doing, they weren't able to tell me because they said, I don't know, this is what my friends do or this is what my partner does, so I just go along with it. So when we really deep dived into that, we started realizing that actually we had to unlearn these patterns that they presented with to be able to then move forward. And to be honest, that's what my book does. There's part one and part two. There's five different steps. Step one and step two is all about the unlearning side, because we have to unlearn in order to then relearn new ways of being. And unlearning means also understanding. Why is it that you presented in this way? And often it's because we found a way to stay safe and secure. So for this lady, she felt that in order for her to be safe, she had to present as being that caretaker, looking after her family and not showing up in her big emotions. Because if she did, she'd be shamed or she'd be told, like, look, stop crying. Or girls don't cry like this. Or be a good girl and don't cry. But what ended up happening was she then developed into this high achiever and go, go, go. But she also had a very difficult relationship with food and alcohol. So food became her go-to, her comfort. But that then soon became her emotional way of managing these big emotions. So if she had a difficult day, what would happen? She'd have food, she'd go to alcohol. And she didn't know all of this was all connected until she started diving deeper into it. And this is why I encourage you here today is like really dive into where do your patterns, what's going on here, what's happening, and how is everything all connected in how you're showing up in everyday life? Because everything around you, all the relationships that you have around you, they all come from that relationship that you hold with yourself. And if you have a relationship with yourself where you are disconnected and you don't know what your needs are, guess what? Other people, how are they going to know what your needs are? Because what are you communicating to them? How are you connecting and letting them know that this is what I need? So if people see you as being like often people pleasing, it's referred to as a doormat because you're the yes person. So people come and they decide that they're just going to wipe their feet on your mat as and whenever they want to. Is that what you want? Is that what you want to continue happening? So just sit with that and start to become more aware. And even like I said, through my own experience, for years, I was there busy trying to just make sure everyone else around me was okay. And no one told me that that's what I had to do, but that's the archetype that I fit into. And I've always been a very sensitive, a very deep person. I didn't know how to manage these emotions until I ended up in a therapy space where I was like, these are big emotions. And even then, it took me a few sessions to actually trust someone else with how big my emotions were. And this is what I see with clients coming through. Like initially, it's like, oh, do I want to discuss this? Do I want to share these things? Because you've kept them away for so long and they're parts that you've just put to one side because you felt like they're just too much or they're not okay. And this is what you want to delve into. And this is where therapy can be really helpful. Just even not in therapy, even just journaling. And starting to notice, because often we're disconnected. So we're just go, go, go. And we're just busy. It's like being a headless chicken, just running around. Like, what are you doing? Come back. Pause. Stop. These are really powerful things that we can be doing. So as we come towards the end of this podcast, I just want us to really take away from this to embrace authenticity. And that's been a huge challenge of mine in particular, where really stepping in to being visible as you are without worrying about what people think. So as we conclude today's episode, I really encourage you to reflect on the insights and strategies shared here and consider how you can begin your own journey. How you begin your own journey of recovery from people pleasing. And remember, embracing authenticity and prioritizing your self-care, they're essential steps towards living a more fulfilling and empowered life. Thank you very much, and I'll see you in the other episodes. My name is Dr. Lalita. Take care. See you later. Bye-bye. Hey there, are you ready to take your personal growth journey to the next level? I'm really excited to announce that my new online course is finally here. And in this course, we deep dive into topics we explore on this podcast, but with even more in-depth lessons, practical exercises, and personalized guidance. Don't miss out on this opportunity to invest in yourself and unlock your full potential. Enroll now and join me on this life-changing journey.